advise you to get off the streets as quickly as possible. It'll soon be a war up there.
And we are, as a people, opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths.
I know for a fact.
And to secret proceedings.
Weapons of mass destruction.
I have a dream.
I take the threat very seriously.
A new world order.
Your government thanks you for your participation.
You are now listening to the world-famous Sofa King Podcast.
Please, read from sheets. I am Sofa King.
Sofa King.
Now repeat all very fast, please.
I am Sofa King.
Faster.
I am Sofa King.
No, not so fast. Loses meaning.
I am Sofa King with me, Todd.
You say funny things.
Hello, hello, hello. How you guys doing? Oh, I'm doing good.
Wow, that was a quick response.
Yeah. Oh, you guys are here.
I'm doing all right.
I didn't even see you over there.
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Just said I'm doing good.
How are you doing?
Perfect.
How you doing?
I was like super paranoid though that you're going to fuck shit up. Like I was like, Dave doesn't have the bell on the ground. I was like looking at everybody. I was like, those guys got there before me. They're up to something.
No, you're already hurting enough.
Yeah, yeah, you're already in enough pain.
Oh, that was a sympathy, not fuck.
We don't need to add to the spiritual pain.
We'll explain that at the end of the show.
Yeah.
You're going to wait all the way through?
Yeah. Yeah,
sure.
Cliffhanger.
Why not? Yeah, it is a cliffhanger.
Nothing
yeah.
exciting.
You want to know why he's in pain? Wait.
Yeah.
Yep.
An hour.
Or so.
Or so.
Big fat shout out to Chris Cowell, who sent us some really cool swag. He sent us some...
Is he fat?
What?
Is he fat? What the fuck? He's calling big fat guy shout out.
Fat no, I said, you said a big fat shout out.
No, you said shout out to a big fat guy. That's no, what he I
is,
heard.
Chris Cowell is very far from fat.
Wow.
So he's too skinny is what you're saying, like anorexic.
He's very skinny.
Okay.
You are a shallow, howlish man.
Yeah. But yeah, I see him as a voluptuous black woman time I look at him.
Yeah.
And I did say voluptuous instead of voluptuous. But he sent us some stuff, some Roswell stuff.
He sent a second load of Roswell.
Another
stuff.
Load of Roswell stuff. Alien Fresh Jerky. The best jerky in the universe.
It's
barbecue on the moon beef jerky, which I obviously won't be eating. But Brent says it's the best, one of the best jerkies he's ever had. He sent us Alien Fresh Mango Jerky from Roswell. And he sent us some El Yucateco mini packages. And
that's really good.
His face
I told
is
you that jerky's good,
there.
Dude. And those Yucateco packs, I was like nerd stoked on that. Yeah. Like, sweet, there's three. I get one for my collection.
And then, best of all, he sent us a reproduction of the alien fragment that allegedly was found in Roswell with the alien sigils on it. If you don't know about the alien sigils on the fragment of metal, then go back and listen to our Roswell episode and get off your lazy ass.
Sigils, huh? Is that a symbol? Is that like. What's sigil?
It's a sigil.
I don't know what it means, but I've heard it before.
So I'm going to try this mango with, it's mango with chamoy.
I don't know. I have no idea. I'll try it.
Just
try a spice.
I normally don't like mangoes or spice.
I like mangoes. That's one weird fruit I do like.
It's actually really delicious.
Go, Brad.
I'm not eating that.
That's really good. Oh, it's got some spice on it.
That's a chamoy.
In the background. That's the chamoy talking.
Chamoy.
If you found this at Target, it would be in the ethnic section for
yes,
sure.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Chamoy.
So thank you, Chris Cowell. Big shout out. I'll actually be talking about Chris Cowell later in this episode.
You and your cliffhangers.
Yeah.
Man.
That's two cliffhangers.
Well, yeah. What else do we have?
I don't know what I should quit eating this because I'm gonna smack in the mic.
Yeah, we are smacking in the mic. Who gives a shit? But yeah, he did send us little mini, like ketchup packet sized things of El Yucateco.
And we've seen them, but we haven't seen them in real life.
So now we've got three, and I would say that means we each get one, but let's not kid ourselves.
Yeah.
Brent gets three.
Yeah. No, it's fine. I just want one, but
I don't need one. You can have it for your personal collection.
I have a bottle.
Yeah, I have all the flavors in the bottles. I have now the mini packs, and then I have every flavor in the mini bottles, mini koozie, the regular koozie. I have all of the boxed, what are those called really? I'm not even sure what to call them right
like
now.
Like a paste?
Yeah.
Like a, yeah.
It's like a seasoning, like a...
Oh, like a...
Exactly. That's what's going through my head right now. That's the word I came up with.
Yeah.
I got that far.
Yeah.
The bouillon cubes.
Sort of, but it's more of a paste. Yeah. I can't enunciate the word correctly, so I won't try, but maybe I should post a picture of my collection.
Maybe it's like moist bouillon.
Maybe. And then I have, what's the other thing I have? You fucked me up. I don't know. I have some weird Yucateca shit, like bottle openers. Just, I have all kinds of weird, Yucateca shirt, hat.
Pickles.
Oh, I got rid of the sandals. Like, who got the sandals? Damn it. I should have saved those for my collection.
Should have saved those sandals.
Somebody either threw them away, probably. And
flip-flops. Probably. Someone won those, but.
Yeah.
You just fucked me up, though, saying pickles.
Yeah.
Now I totally want to make El Yucateco pickles.
Yeah. You can do it.
Oh, I know. I can do it.
Mm-hmm.
I can make a pickle.
Oh.
This is awkward today. Because we're recording at night or something?
I don't know.
I'm going to drink more whiskey and hope it goes better.
Yeah.
So we're talking, I don't know.
What the fuck?
I have no idea what we're talking about.
What's happening right now? You know what you remind me of? A George Bush speech.
No, it's George with Bush. Thank you. That's who we're talking about today.
That's true.
Yep. That's what his middle initial stands
George
for?
George with Bush.
Yeah, George with Bush.
Unknown fact. Yeah. All right.
Mm-hmm. AKA W. So I find it interesting because you had said that you got this feedback, and so did I. Like, as soon as we mention the fact that we're gonna talk about Bush, like, there's an instant reaction of, oh, are you just gonna talk about a bunch of shit about him?
Yeah, I had a family member get like really defensive.
Kinda. It's because everybody talks shit. Everybody talks shit about Bush. Even the people that voted for Bush talk shit about Bush.
Yeah,
like, because he would do some of the stupidest shit.
Yeah.
It's actually kind of funny, some of the stuff, but
in retrospect,
but he is. And when we mentioned it, when we were talking about it last week or whatever, whenever we said it, he is on one of like the top 100 most like wanted to know about people. Like, he's up there with like Da Vinci and
he at one point in time had the highest approval rating by the population. Yeah. He also won the popular vote, at a larger count than any other president, I think, in history, too.
On the second one. Yeah.
But let's not skip
over the first one.
After some patriotic fluff, you know what I mean?
But also, he has the distinction of also being the lowest rated popular president.
They said at one point in time, somehow he was the most revered and most hated at the same time.
Yeah.
And he's
the most overrated and underrated at the same time.
Because I read in 2006 that his job approval rating was only 39%, and it said it was the second lowest since Richard Nixon, which was 24% during the Watergate scandal, which is pretty fucking abysmal.
Right.
But then 2 years later, it was down to 19%.
Ooh,
Bush's was.
That's low.
Like, that's an all-time fucking low. Like, if your job performance rating at your job is 19%, you're not going back to work on
Monday. But it's like you didn't really get a whole lot done in office because you were preoccupied by war, you know.
True.
Like, that's all it was.
You could do all kinds of stuff and fail at that. If that war, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And everything else is going to fall to the side. Like, you could save Social Security and all the great things you do, that's what's going to matter. So, but tunnel vision.
But right there at the end, the economy fucking took a shit.
Yep.
That was when the housing collapse happened. That was when the recession hit.
Yep.
Like, and of course, you're going to lay all this at the president's feet no matter what. So, I mean, it wasn't just the war, which was bad enough. It was all the financial stuff. It was I wanted to look, I wanted to give him his day in court and look up some of the things that he did accomplish during his presidency. And even though
The list wasn't very long.
And like, philosophically, I'm opposed to probably half of them. It's just not shit that I agree with. But some of it, I was like, that was legit. He got some shit done. But he was just, as like, far as public speaking goes.
It's awesome, actually, though. The blooper reels, man. And Will Ferrell's impression. There's one at some dinner that he does, and it's just this other guy.
Yeah, SNL is just not the same anymore.
No.
Amazing.
Did you guys see the one-man show that Will Ferrell did just about President Bush?
No.
It was like a fucking, it was a two-hour one-man show where he plays President Bush.
Oh, that's where he goes to the ranch and stands by the fence and all that?
No, it's just on stage. The whole thing is him on stage.
I heard about that. I never watched it, though.
It was pretty damn good. It was like his memoirs, but
thanks for the heads up before this episode.
Yeah.
Jerk.
Well, we're not doing an episode on Will Ferrell,
so it would have been fun. Could have made some more jokes.
Fake President Bush. So Bush was our 43rd president. Even though he bills himself as a Texan, and that's kind of the, you know, everybody thinks of him as like a Texan, but he's actually born in New Haven, Connecticut, because his grandfather was already rich and an East Coast, you know, millionaire. Well, I'm sure at some point we'll do a thing on Prescott Bush because he was quite a son of a bitch in his own right. And his father, we were talking a little while ago, and we said we wanted to do an episode on the Bushes, and then we realized we should really do one on multiple Bushes because they're all pretty fucking crazy. Yeah, because
Senior has his own.
Senior's got his own shit.
The vice presidency with Reagan.
Yeah, and all his CIA. And then their grandfather with alleged Nazi connections and all the crazy money that he made. So, I mean, there's a lot of shit going on with the Bushes, but we wanted to start with the bottom rung and then work our way backwards through the
We're starting like middle rung. We skipped over Jeb.
We do the prequels.
we're skipping Jeb and, you know.
Just based on names alone. Like, when you're named Jeb, that's the dog's name.
Yeah.
Like, he's been fucked always. He was like the bat boy, had to pick up the dog shit, rig the election. Yeah. You know, he always gets the
shit. No, you don't get to win the election.
You can rig it.
Your brother can win the election because you're going to rig it.
Right.
When you run.
Yeah.
We're out. Sorry. We can't
peace.
Help you. Yeah. We can't help you with that one.
We don't got your
You're back, actually running against Donald Trump, who has his own money. So you're kind of screwed, Jeb.
Good luck with that, Jeb. But he moved in. I mean, he was only two when he moved to Texas, so I suppose he grew up in Texas. But all indications are that he grew up sort of as a East Coast wealthy person slash Texan oil man, because that his father made a fortune in oil starting in 1948. So George W. Bush starts making a lot of money. And he ends up going to Phillips Academy in Andover, Massachusetts, which is where he goes to the equivalent of high school, I suppose, a private military school.
That's where he started his leadership, though, because he was head cheerleader, so which I thought was really impressive.
Was he?
Really? He actually was fucking head cheerleader. That's not a joke.
I didn't see that. I was like, wow, that's funny.
I kept reading. I was like, head cheerleader? Wait a minute. Yeah, so at Phillips, he was head cheerleader.
Wow.
Maybe it was all boys, and they did, like, acrobatics.
It probably was all boys. But from everything that I read while he was there, he was like a total blah student. He didn't do well in his classes.
He was a partier.
He was a good athlete. He was very popular. He was somewhat of a troublemaker and an alcoholic. Mm-hmm. And he ends up getting admitted to Yale. And like two or three different sources that I read, just pretty much without elaborating, say, due to family connections, he got accepted to Yale.
Yeah. And he was head cheerleader again.
At Yale.
Yeah. Was he really? And that was not an all-boys school.
No, that was not an all-boys school. And that is, technically that's his hometown in New Haven. That's where Yale is.
At the same time, he played rugby and stuff, though. I was like reading.
He did
play
rugby.
Yeah. So that cheerleader thing was like it was just a different time, you know?
No, it was. Yeah. I mean, you see like the
maybe
pictures.
Maybe everybody was a cheerleader.
You see those pictures of the 60s and it's like, you know, they got their megaphone and a jaunty sweater.
I don't know, though. I guess if you want to be around the girls, you join the cheerleading squad. You know?
Who's laughing now?
That's true.
He just a little wink and that little
George Bush Barbara.
Smile.
He got Barbara Bush and we didn't.
That's true.
So.
And he was laughing.
And he was.
I don't know if that's a good Bush laugh. Then we got a better creepy. Bush
Barbara's
laugh.
Barbara's his mom, for the record. Laughs.
Uh-huh.
Barbara's his mom, right?
Laura Bush.
Yeah, you said Barbara. That's cool.
Well,
yeah. Barbara looks like...
I don't know. I can't tell them apart.
The Q-tip lady from the Chupacabra episode, to be honest.
Yeah, they're all with Bush.
Striking resemblance. Yeah. Thought I wasn't going to notice Barbara.
If you're just trying to tell them apart, if you're trying to tell them apart by the Bush alone, you can't. It's all the same.
Yeah.
They have identical They all have identical bushes.
Yep, they do.
Except one of them has a burning bush. Yeah. That one you stay away from.
An STD, I'm pretty sure.
I think that was Jeb.
Yeah.
Jeb. He was born with AIDS.
I like Brent doesn't even respond to that one. So he ends up going to Yale. He's the president of the Delta Kappa Epsilon fraternity. He's a rugby player. And of course, and this is something that I'm sure we'll talk about. People have asked for it in its own episode. He was a third generation member of the Skull and Bones secret society in Yale, which is kind of a weird thing. I mean,
have you heard the audio recordings from the Bone Society initiation that were caught?
No.
It is horrifying. I don't know. Like, it doesn't sound like it's a dramatic, like, played out thing, like where they're reenacting something, like the Mason thing you hear about, where they replay some thing like of the past.
Fake death,
no, it sounds like they're murdering someone in a scary movie. Like someone recorded it. And that's what happens in the courtyard. So God knows what happens inside.
Well, Jeb didn't get to be president because he escaped the murder. They were supposed to kill him.
Ah.
He escaped.
Maybe they did kill him.
Maybe
Jeb is undead.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, it's weird. Like the whole thing is weird. There's like, it's not like the Skull and Bones is the only secret society at Yale. There's multiples and there's multiple houses and they all have different names. And there's just these societies. It's just that the Skull and Bones is an especially powerful one.
It's notorious. Because everybody powerful has came out of
it. And it's not all that fucking secret. Like everybody who's in it, it's matter of public record that they were in Skull and Bones. It's a big fucking house. Like when you're on the Yale campus, there's the Skull and Bones.
Well, it's like
house.
The Masons. They wear rings.
Like a fraternity. I mean, basically, they're like, they're amped up fraternities, basically. But it does have a lot of powerful people. But again, it's fucking Yale. Like, that's
except for
not
you get
surprising.
To rule the world.
Yes.
Yeah. Instead of like.
But I mean, it's like I said, it's like, it's just a Yale equivalent to me, from what I know. It's like a Yale equivalent fraternity. Like, if you go to some small school and join a fraternity. Yeah, you still meet people. Yeah. You end up graduating and your homeboy that was on the fraternity owns a job, you know, owns a company and gets you a job, whatever.
Yeah. You all just get jobs at Walmart.
Right. But at Yale, it's just everybody in this thing is like another president's son and a fucking billionaire's kid. And so you're like hanging out with like fucking wealthy, like the children of wealthy, powerful
people.
They
draw a little piece of paper out of a skull and then they're like, sweet Monsanto, Bilderberg.
I wonder if his parents or somebody forced him to join Skull and Bones, like if he wasn't able to get into it, because he joined it as a senior. Like it's like his last chance to get into it. You know,
well, it's not
think,
your decision. I mean, it would have been them getting other Skull and Bones members to say, yes, make him a member. Because you don't apply. It's not your call. They tell you, come to this place at this time.
Well, he was all doing coke and partying. They're like, this looks like a fun guy. He's our kind of guy.
Yeah.
His family.
Or he wasn't because he quit. He quit.
I think you're just kind of on the list when your parents, when you're third generation.
When you're third generation. Yeah. I can't, you know. And at that point, his dad was already in the government. His dad was already, you know, he wasn't quite.
His dad was in CIA.
I don't think he was the head of CIA yet. I think that started in 73.
What's the deal with a GPA of 77? I didn't understand that. That's just 77%, like a C average.
I have no idea.
Yeah, they said his GPA was 77.
Yeah.
I was hoping you're going to answer that for me because you're a college professor.
Well, normally it's like a 3.5 or
I've
never heard of it. Like if his GPA was a 77, that's like a fucking A with 73 pluses behind it.
Yeah, like, that's what I was like.
I don't know what the fuck.
Or it's below. It's like 0.77. Yeah, I don't know.
I doubt that.
That's the way it was listed.
I doubt that.
All right.
But, 77, I don't know, maybe Yale has their own GPA scenario. But so he graduates from Yale, and this, again, you know, I see all these sources that basically said the same thing, and they basically said, so he graduates from Yale in 68, and 2 weeks before graduation, he applies to join the Texas Air National Guard.
With 12 days before the draft.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, I mean, it was to dodge the draft.
But again, like, it was a super long wait list and no one got in to the Texas. I mean, because everybody wanted to get in.
Everybody's
then
trying to dodge.
Right. They didn't. Then it's like, I'm doing military service. You can't draft me, but I'm fucking guarding Texas.
It was the safest branch, and there was 100,000 applicants ahead of him. Yeah. They have an entry exam with a possible score of 100. And he scored 25 and jumped over everyone.
But again,
and got in.
As all the sources said, family connections made sure he got into the Texas National
Guard. What's funny
is
like all these people that we regard in like high, like so many people either fled to Canada or tried to join the National Guard.
Right.
Like all these people were just really big pussies. Like when it came down to it, nobody wanted to actually help the country.
I mean, especially when there's a war that you don't agree with, you know what I mean? Like if you don't agree with Vietnam because there's some political thing behind it, like the same thing of going to Iraq after Saddam, when you know that it's about oil, or going to Afghanistan when it's about poppy fields. If I don't agree with it, it doesn't make me a pussy, especially if I think I have a better purpose than dying for a cause that I don't believe in. So there's some points.
You still have to fight in the military.
I believe in patriotism. patriotism and supporting your country, if it's about really protecting us, you know what I mean? But if it's for something that you truly don't
But you don't know.
In,
that's the thing. You don't know.
You don't know until, 10 years later when it's but on Self-Cooking Podcast.
And still, though, you don't know.
But I have a time machine. I do know.
But again, there were 100,000 other motherfuckers hoping to dodge the draft
who
the
died,
same exact
many,
way.
Many of which died.
Who got really high scores on a test to get in, and they didn't have they didn't have burning bushes letting them skip to the head of the line.
That's part of population control.
And also to become an airman in the National Guard like that, I guess no one, it's unheard of to receive your air training there, especially with a score of 25. Like, you're not going to be a pilot. Like, you have to have the most pristine score, a prestigious score, to qualify as a pilot. They trained him to be a pilot and put him in a plane.
Right. Because even with if you did manage to get in, you're like loading ammo. Like, you're not a fucking pilot. Yeah.
Pilot's the top job. And then, they interviewed another pilot and he was just pissed. He was like, that is unheard of. Like, that's a position of honor. Most people had to do wartime and serve their 4 years in Vietnam and then come back. And then you get to be in the Air National Guard as a pilot and have the cush job.
Right.
So clearly some influence.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't think so.
No, there was a guy interviewed that's playing devil's advocate over there.
I have to.
Yeah. Someone's got to be nice to old Georgie.
Right. Yeah, but again, I'm not being mean.
You're just going off what's true.
If you look in the 60s, in general, wealthy kids did not go serve in fucking Vietnam.
Well, and this is the whole thing. People want to say are you going to talk bad about George Bush? But really, this is just George Bush's biography.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? This is his upbringing.
Right.
So it's hard to defend him in that sense when you're saying I don't want to talk bad about him, but...
He didn't, and then he didn't even end up serving some of the time he's supposed to serve during that period.
There
was a lot of controversy
he's
about
definitively considered AWOL by definition. If you look at the record of attendance and things that he missed,
But doesn't get.
And then they had there was an interview with an administrative clerk in the office and someone else who said that they saw the records be put into a shredder.
Yeah,
and get rid of pay stubs and points for attendance and stuff for him. So his they showed a normal file. And his file and his is missing, half of what should be there. That happened, right? It's like the Obama birth certificate type thing. Shit got fixed real quick before he ran when it came into question.
And this is, and again, keep in mind, it's not just that his father is a rich Texan from oil and is in Texas being able to do this stuff, which he is. He's also about to become head of the fucking CIA.
Yeah.
If anyone can pull a string and get their kid out of going to war, it's the head of the fucking CIA.
I think one thing that I found out about this and our next topic that's coming out Friday is that the CIA, the more we get into this, they're very evil.
They're motherfuckers,
they're
man.
It's like the FBI. FBI are the better guys. They're not really the good guys, but they're the better guys. And then you have the CIA that are fighting the FBI to get around stuff. It's
because
crazy.
They're so top secret that they can tell the president, you don't have clearance for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Literally. So of course you're going to get power hungry and start to have your own agenda.
Well, they just run everything. Yeah.
And they're fucking smart. It's the intelligence agency.
And in a lot
it's a bunch of smart motherfuckers in one room.
And it speaks to the power of Congress, because the only people that groups like the CIA and National Intelligence answer to are the intelligence subcommittees of Congress.
Yeah. But
and when there's a black operation,
they still don't know.
If it's a black operation, it's called a black operation because even the budget is blacked out. You know literally nothing about the operation.
Yeah, they still have to answer to them, but then they're like, nope, you don't have too important. We can't tell you.
Right.
And they're just like, that's bullshit. Yeah, I guess. What are we going to do? I guess put George Bush in office.
Yeah. It's happening right now with Congress asking about email servers. I won't get into specifics, but they're like, you can't, I'm Congress. You can't tell me. And he's like, no, sir, I cannot. He's like, can you tell me what this had to do with? I cannot talk to that, sir.
What'd you have for lunch? Turkey sandwich.
It's insane. Yeah.
Yeah. No, the CIA has had mad power. And of course, W's dad
it's scary.
Is in charge of it.
Oh, yeah, it is scary. I think I never really, we've done a lot of topics and CIA has been involved in a lot of them, but I was watching this and stuff for the other show. And I was like, wow, that's kind of It gave me the perspective of it's like, funny you wow, said that, really like, fucked up.
Like, everything's starting to come like full circle. Like all the little bits of everything I do remember from like Watergate.
They're all starting to,
yeah, starting to come together. Or like yeah. how we said those time periods are starting to overlap.
Yeah.
And then you're having a total picture of overall history of like.
Yeah. Like right. between MK the Ultra 60s and 70s. And yeah.
We know who the players are in every game during each time period and everything's starting yeah. to come together. Because in the beginning of this show, I didn't know any of this.
Right.
Yeah, and we're going to get killed.
Like just looking at a lot of the Bush stuff, a lot of which we haven't gotten to yet, like I kept putting in the notes, oh, you can remind listeners to listen to that other episode we did right. about this very thing, because there's all this shit yeah. that he's involved with that is controversial and does other stuff. But I mean, even down to the CIA, and like I said, both of his parents, his father and his grandfather both deserve their own show because they were into some yeah. fucking shady
it's,
shit.
Yeah, and it's like we talked about the drug running of the CIA through the Clintons, you know, when they were in Arkansas,
right?
And Clinton was president.
Right.
And then all the shady shit yeah. Bush did, Bush yeah. is president. Right. Both right. of them, you know, yeah. like, so yeah. it's crazy.
Yeah. But we'll definitely get into some it. Other yeah. Bush stuff. So he ends up in 75. He gets discharged in 74, honorably discharged, even though he probably shouldn't have, what with all the AWOL and everything. Yeah.
And what are you talking about? There's no record of that.
Well, normally when that happens, you know what they do? They're like, find a foxhole. You want to skip out? Like they just ship you fucking immediately.
You straight over. Yeah.
yeah that's yeah. what happens normally right. when you get caught for AWOL.
Yeah. But then again, since he was a certified Air Force pilot, the fucking people in charge of the Air Force were probably like, please don't send him over.
Yeah.
To
yeah.
Us.
yeah.
like,
they're like, nah.
We have a very expensive plane and I don't want that fucking monkey's ass piloting it. like, I'd rather, we've got skilled pilots already. Thank you very much.
Jimmy, what's his button do?
Dang, I don't have a Bush impression.
It says launch, not lunch.
this thing ain't giving me a ham sandwich.
So he goes to Harvard Business School, gets an MBA in business, and again, like in a very short time, like from what I read, he was only there for a year and he's got his MBA in business, which either would tell me.
It says he was there for 3 years.
Does it? Okay. Cause I saw that in 75, the things I read said that he got there in 75 and then another one said that he earned his degree in 75. So, but anyway, he gets his MBA at Harvard, which again, one of two scenarios, either A, he actually had some, business smarts, which does tend to show up a little bit later in his business career. He does have some really savvy business moves that he pulls. Or B, he just ends up with a lot of clout because of his parents or how much they donated to yeah. Harvard or whatever. But from a lot of stuff that I read, he did make some very smart business decisions before he became governor. So maybe he was just a natural at business. But it was there that at a barbecue in 1975, he met a teacher and librarian named Laura Welch. And 3 months later they were engaged and they got married very, very quickly.
And I read 77. I was reading something else while you were deliberating on
77.
So, yeah. 77. So, yeah.
That source.
So it was somewhere between 75 and 78.
No, I'll trust 77.
Yeah.
So,
Laura's family is actually she's actually the heiress to the Welch's grape juice, company.
Is that true?
No.
That's believable. I'm glad you didn't bluff.
That was good.
Yeah. That we should was start good. Doing that some shit like that. Nice. Start some disinformation.
That was good. So in 75, unless I'm still off on the dates, he ends up starting his own business in Texas. Did you get that date?
Who cares? Go.
Okay. But he starts an oil business.
Yeah, this is in 2013.
And he ends up moving to Midland, Texas, which is where he ended up growing up for a lot of his childhood. And he starts an oil company that doesn't really ever blow up. Like he can't quite get it off the ground, which again, doesn't really speak poorly to his business sense because he ends up selling it in 86 for a ton of stock and a seat on the board of directors of a company called Harkin Energy Corporation. So he kind of does what a lot of people end up wanting to do if they have like a dot-com yeah. startup. It's like you know, get this company started up and make it just valuable enough for someone else to want to buy it.
I like he named it Arbusto. Did you see that?
I mean, no, I couldn't find the name of it.
It just cracks me up because there's a bunch of campaign stuff because he's in Texas. There's a large Hispanic population and voter base. So I don't know if he strategically learned Spanish because of that, but apparently he speaks fluent Spanish from a couple things I read. And he named it Arbusto, but I just hear him speaking like Arbusto. You're like,
Tango Arbusto.
yeah, like that kind of thing. So it means Bush.
El Gato.
But then he later changed the name to Bush Exploration. And then some things happened when oil crashed and they kind of got absorbed and purchased by some other place, yeah, and then sold out.
Which, yeah, which, I mean, this is part of the interesting story. His father owned Zapatita Oil. I think that's what it's called, something like that. In,
I just can't trust Brad anymore.
No, this is actually
Fajita Pita.
No, you know, Fajita Pita Oil.
It was in 1776. No,
it was like Zapatita Oil. It was some weird oil company name, but it was in the whole Iran-Contra deal.
Right,
was to help fund that because he owned the oil company that was benefiting from the war. Now you have Bush, who owns an oil company, and then invades Iran and Iraq looking for Al-Qaeda and bin Laden, who are supposedly CIA agents.
There's a lot. Actually, Arbusto was funded by indirectly.
Arbusto the man or the company?
The company. Okay. Yeah, George Bush's company, Arbusto, was actually primarily funded indirectly through one third party between them by the bin Laden Saudi oil family.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just like point ding. Yeah. And actually, he was going to name it Asbestos, but then they told him what it meant and he changed it to Arbusto.
God, I'm just going to come out with Matthew McConaughey. Every time I try to do my George Bush,
that's,
I wanted it so bad.
Yeah, it's fine.
I do want to. I want to rewind and talk about a very important thing that happened in our discussion a minute ago, which is the fact that you used the word Bush exploration and no one made a crude joke about it.
I thought about it.
Okay.
Yeah,
I just wanted to point it out. So anyway, thereby making a crude joke. I made the audience make a crude joke about it in their brain. But long about this time, he becomes a born again Christian. He quits drinking.
Did you guys see that? He got arrested though.
Did you see the documentary of the Jesus Factor on Bush?
I saw it. I didn't have time to watch it.
Yeah, I skipped through it, but it was too much religion for me.
Yeah, he got arrested for drinking and driving. In like 76.
Well, he's a recovering alcoholic.
Yeah.
Right.
Technically, he never says he was an alcoholic, but
he was.
He said he liked to party.
Okay.
I'm going to narrate in
McConaughey. My name's George.
Just do it. Just do it.
My name's George W. Bush.
Friend of mine, George Bush, said he liked to party. He's not actually an alcoholic. He just enjoys an adult beverage from time to time.
See, that wasn't McConaughey. That was Clinton.
That's Clinton?
Yeah,
that's Clinton. McConaughey.
Where's your fucking saxophone right now?
It's a Clinton. If you just say in a Clinton accent, I want to take my shirt off, it's just McConaughey. That's what happens.
Do it.
I think I'm going to take my shirt off right about now.
No, that was Clinton.
Still Clinton. That was 100% Clinton.
All right,
you lost your McConaughey.
No, your McConaughey is slower.
Yep.
You just talk slower.
Slower and sleazy. Yeah. And sleazier.
Exactly. Slower and sleazier.
I'll practice before I come back.
Yeah. So he ends up in 88. He moves to D.C. to help with his father's presidential campaign. And this is where he sort of gets bitten by the political bug, some people think. So his father runs for president, and long about this time, and this is where I started to read that he actually did make some really good business decisions, is he becomes part owner of the Texas Rangers.
For $800,000.
Which I believe is a sporting team.
Yes.
Yeah.
I heard that.
Yeah, it's hockey.
You know what's funny is if I hadn't read that, you could tell me it was hockey, I wouldn't have known. That sounds right to me. But
it's a sporting team.
The Rangers are a hockey team?
Probably. I saw otherwise.
The New York Rangers.
This particular
one. Oh, okay. But very soon, like he's one of many partners who buy in on the Rangers. And from everything I read, like there was a bunch of really smart business deals that were made by the Rangers that he came up with. And in short order, the partners that he was in with basically put him in charge because he was doing such a really good job with their investments, with the Rangers, with all this stuff. So, I mean, he did have some sort of business sense and he was smart enough, you know, in future years to leverage this connection with the Rangers into him getting elected as governor of Texas because he's a good old boy that owns the baseball team.
Meanwhile, yeah. Jeb was twisting his evil mustache because he was just paying him as an advisor. That's what we're going to find out one day. Jeb was the mastermind behind all of it.
Oh, maybe so. Yeah. Even when he was a baby.
He's actually more well-spoken.
For sure. But then ultimately, 10 years later, he ends up flipping the Rangers and selling it for 17 times what he paid for.
Nice.
So it ends up being a nice investment. But I do – a friend of mine who I grew up with back in Michigan – I'll leave his name out in case the story gets him in trouble. But he went to – when we were both in high school together, there was a big vocational school back in Battle Creek, and he ended up going to the vocational school. I was going to vocational school to learn cooking, and he was going as an electrician. And then as soon as he graduated high school, he joined – I want to say the Air Force. And because he had already gone through all this vocational training and he knew about electrical wiring and all that stuff, they ended up putting him on like a bomb disposal crew.
Yikes.
So like if there's, you know, munitions that were stuck in a chamber or didn't quite go off, like he was the guy who would go in there and
I'm colorblind. Yeah. It's never going to work out. Red wire, blue wire. But, I don't know.
He ended up getting these crazy chances to train with the Secret Service because they're really good at bomb disposal and all this stuff. And he did some crazy stuff. He went over to England, and this was a long time ago. So the NRA was still IRA was still very active and blowing shit up. And so he learned all this stuff. But he said at one point he was with the Secret Service, and this was when the father was president. And they were at Rangers Stadium and he was with a bunch of Secret Service people.
I think you're going to get this fucking person in trouble just with this story. No name. I'm pretty sure.
We know who that guy is.
Well, technically he didn't do anything wrong. The guys he talked to are the ones who did.
I'm saying that anyway. The fact that you know this story was probably not supposed to be told.
And now you're telling me. I'm sure everybody knows the story. Yeah. I've heard this like three times already.
But and I don't know that it's really that big of a punchline, but apparently so he was with the Secret Service and they were like working Senior Bush's limo, and W gave him a pair of shoes, and like my friend was like, shouldn't, like, according to all protocol, we need to like scan these shoes, like someone just gave the president a gift, and they were just like, oh no, it's his son, you don't know W, he ain't up to nothing. And they just threw the shoes in the back of the president's limo, even though they could have had explosives in it, because it came from W and they knew enough about him to know that he was too dumb to build a bomb and kill his
and it was just a pair of shoes.
But still, my friend was like, you don't know what you could do with a pair of shoes.
Yeah.
He was
this is the thing though. Like that's where I'm really confused at, because he's like, at one point, he's the stupidest person on earth, but the other point, he can sell the Rangers for 17 times the amount.
Right.
This is the thing.
That he got, you know, like.
He's not super deep. He's not intellectually adept, like, as far as, like, philosophically. You know what I mean? But, like, there's business sense. You know, he clearly is a smart man to navigate what he has to navigate to get through politics. You know what I mean? Like, if you ever watch House of Cards, I've heard that's horribly accurate. You know, you have to make all these little friendships and
but a lot
alliances.
Of people, a lot of people, fake. A lot of people though don't think he made any of those friendships and alliances. Right. It was all just his father. Like I've read a lot of people who think that both Reagan administrations,
that's why
the
I
first
know what
Bush
Jeb
administration
did.
And both W administrations were really George H.W. Bush's 16-year presidency where he called all the fucking shots. Like
probably.
A lot of people think that is the case. Because I mean, Reagan was no rocket scientist,
Reagan was more down to earth, kind of like Bush. Yeah.
And the thing I remember as a kid, like watching, like when W's father was vice president, he was like this klutzy, stupid, like he was portrayed on SNL, you know, in all these comedy sketches as being this clumsy, dopey. He spoke poorly. He said things wrong. And like, it's like he put on this front of being stupid and being clumsy and being an ignoramus. Right. And really he fucking ran the CIA.
Yeah.
And it's like, how much of W's little stupidness is a ploy, or was he just a complete dunce
who his father manipulated? And you could say like, hey, like the American public they're idiots. Like, so just be an idiot and they'll relate to you.
Sure.
Well, I think that was a lot of his appeal was the common man. Like I watched an interview.
That's what I'm saying. Like just be stupid. Everybody can relate to you.
The Texas lieutenant governor said that the population just wants somebody that's a little bit better than you. That's all you have to be, a little bit better. Like what's better than me. Like he knows better than I do. Even if it's only by a little bit, he still knows better than you do. And if his reputation shows that he has accomplishments, they're going to follow, especially if some down to earth, friendly Texan, good old boy, oil man, you know, he had a few drinks. Shit, he got a DUI. Man, he was honorably discharged. You can have some of that history and it makes you almost more likable because they trust you, because they're like, look, he's not one of those stiff politicians. He's a normal, goofy, you know, Texan.
And that's what makes me think. It's a ploy.
Someone could be an act.
You know? Yeah. Right.
He was well read. They said he read like 190 books while in the White House or something. Mm-hmm. He read all of the Lincoln.
That's what I'm saying. Like, but I think he can, if you can knock out a master's degree while fucking around.
But again, you know. And it makes me have to question, because then at a when they inaugurated the library, like the presidential library, in his name, like he made a joke, and I'm just paraphrasing it, but like his joke was, you know, a couple of years ago, you couldn't have got me to set foot in a library, and now you're naming one after me.
Yeah.
And it's like, so he puts, I don't know, is like, is he just putting on airs?
What? That's what I'm saying. Like, it really, really seems that way. Like, it seems that he... I mean, you got to think who he was raised by, you know? I mean, like we said, the head of the CIA,
right.
It's his fucking son.
Right.
So yeah, he might pick up goofy mannerisms and maybe you just don't speak well. Someone with a speech impediment would come across as unintelligent and they might not be, you know what I mean?
No,
you get that thing
where
even when a child's too big for their age, you know what I mean? That kid looks like he's seven, but he's 4.
Yeah,
like,
when you can't say ours, you're retarded.
Yeah. So
you can't even say retard. It's all wee-tards. You can't say.
Damn it. I had more to say. I don't remember now.
Just derailed.
Yeah.
It.
Yeah.
Fucking idiots.
So he ends up becoming governor of Texas in 92. And 94. He runs. 94? Are you fucking with me? You
every time Dave says a number, we just say another year.
But the thing is, you always tack on two. It's not just that you had a number.
He figured
it's
out our pattern, Brad.
Damn it. I fucked up.
So he becomes...
Switched to three.
He becomes governor in 92. After, and it's right after his father loses the presidential bid against Clinton, and he runs against the incumbent Democrat Ann Richards. And again, it's a very tight race. Apparently it got really nasty, a lot of like real shit talking ads and like calling out shit about each other.
Well, she was supposed to be a
shoe-in.
Like, she was supposed to be a shoe-in. She was a Democrat.
I really am reading that you're wrong on that. It says governor 95 to 2000.
95 to 2000.
Well, he probably ran in 94, but probably got it in 95.
What'd you say, 92?
I said 92. I think it must have been 94.
Yeah.
Damn it.
I guess
he announced he announced the candidacy in 94, so.
Yeah, I guess that. I have my Bush sense on.
You do. You
just quit saying numbers and you'll be okay.
Okay.
Well, like, in the mid-90s.
We're known for vague fucking time periods.
Yeah, exactly.
Of castle time.
I'll talk about the fact that some airplanes crashed into some buildings sometime in the autumn.
It's
like MacBooks. Yeah. Just early spring manufactured in Santa Cruz.
This is safe to be black people times.
Yes. That's true. and it is safe to be black people times.
Yeah. And we're coming up not safe to be terrorist times.
Right. Yeah, that's very true.
Not safe to be brown people times.
So he ends up
doing
it. At the time, he does a lot of bipartisan deals, like when he's governor. Like, I looked into as much as I could about his governor stuff. But he was a Republican, but he was considered a moderate Republican. He wasn't like super, super crazy on one wing or the other. He did a lot of bipartisan stuff, like meeting people in the middle of the aisle in order to get legislation passed. A lot of things that weren't necessarily the case once he became president.
See, he played it smart, though.
Right.
Like, that's the other, you know, like, this is another instance where while governor, he's like, yeah, I could see that. You know, yeah, we'll go that way and just builds relationships.
And he did decent stuff. Like he pushed for a big tax cut and increased funding in education. He promoted educational reform in ways that I don't necessarily agree with that tied with student performance, but he was still trying to make education better in the way that he saw it. And then he also he signed a law that made it
illegal to be Mexican.
Basically illegal to be Mexican. He signed a legislation that lowered the age at which juveniles could be tried as adults, which I don't know that I necessarily agree with. But I mean, he got legislation passed and he did stuff that would have been contentious, but he had to meet people in the middle, which politics no longer fucking does.
One of his big things to get elected was concealed weapons. Like, he made it legal for you to carry a concealed weapon in Texas.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. So that was a huge one for him.
Which
that
would be in Texas, thing. That's a big
thing
deal.
Now.
Yeah.
So then in 1974, he declares that he's running for president.
74?
Yeah.
That sounds about right.
I've been wrong every other time, so I'm just going to start throwing out wrong numbers.
I'm with you.
I
almost didn't catch it. I almost didn't catch it.
In 99, he declares that he wants to run for president. And the 2000 election is obviously worthy of pausing and talking about because it's kind of a colossal clusterfuck of the Democratic system. So the race, and I remember this race. I remember that night, like, going to bed.
And this isn't the Democratic system, Dave. This is just our fucked up version.
This is the American system. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not a true Democratic system.
No, it isn't. But I remember the night of the election, I went to bed hearing, like, I was watching like two different news
thinking
channels.
Al Gore's,
I don't remember which one, and two different things were like, Al Gore just won the election. There it is. And then I woke up in the morning and got my paper, and it was all
Bernstein-bared.
Like, I was like, God damn it. I got massively Bernstein-bared.
Yeah. Like, wait a minute. I remember it on TV. They said Al Gore won.
Yeah.
And it's, now
it's where you come into the whole electoral college gerrymandering craziness of everything that happens.
Yeah.
Al Gore actually won the election by like half a million, like 543,000 votes by popular vote.
Yep.
And then Bush wins by electoral college vote, but not by popular vote. That shouldn't even be possible.
Yeah. So that,
well, he won. So he won Florida by 572 votes or some shit like
that. So that, but that night, the night of the election, Bush had 246 electoral votes and Gore had 255 electoral votes, and they needed to reach 270 to be declared winner.
There's some cool footage of him, they're announcing the exit polls for Florida and him just smiling through it. Like,
cause he knows.
Calm and cool, because he knows.
Because there's 25 electoral seats in Florida, and guess who runs Florida?
His brother.
Yeah, he knows. Jeb, that's what I'm saying. Right?
The family dog.
Perhaps.
Who the fuck would vote the family dog in for governor?
I think that's what I want to know. I think maybe Jeb is like Emperor Palpatine from Star Wars.
Probably.
Like, I think he was like behind the scenes, like manipulating people.
But no, what I mean, because they paid Jeb as a governor, they paid a company to do the vote counting.
Right.
Right.
And they also paid them to compile lists of people that were illegal or ineligible to vote because of a criminal past.
Yep. Yeah.
And which, not check them.
Yeah. Yeah. They didn't check them. And when checked, 95 to 100% of them were wrong. They were just the same surname,
right?
Because there's a lot of black people in prison in America. They have the same name and same surname. And they got linked to not being able to vote.
Right.
And then is insane.
The state also blocked 50,000 Democratic new registered voters.
Yeah.
They just like, oh, it didn't finish in time.
Well, that's how.
Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. They blocked them out.
But to make things even worse, and there was a whole documentary about this on HBO a long time ago. The Diebold family, which is very good friends with the Bush family,
mm-hmm.
And you've probably seen their name. They make cash registers, they make calculators, they make voting machines. And Jeb had just signed all the voting machines in Florida to go over to the Diebold system.
Yep.
So family friends are running the entire election apparatus in Florida, which happens to get fucked up with hanging chads, with all this stuff. They even found out that, and that was the beginning of using some computerized voting machines.
Right.
Yep. And these people who did some investigations afterwards discovered that you would go in on a Diebold machine, enter your information, type in your vote, and then when you hit submit, it would just fucking change your vote to something else. Because there was a glitch. Oops.
It's happening right now. They've been showing it on the internet at like some of the places for like early vote. Like people will hit, you know, they were hitting someone, it was just popping right down.
Right.
And they pop, it would just move down.
Yeah.
Every time you hit it, you could extremely over-exaggerate the line that you're trying to hit, like way above it, and it would just pop down to the canopy.
Yeah. And some people even, and I know it didn't, like, side note, but even like the Diebold machines have been hacked.
Right.
Like people would take a single voting
card.
There's
a movie called like Hacking Democracy or something. About,
yeah, it was. I think it was Hacking Democracy.
Yeah.
You'd put a voting card into a Diebold machine and it would spread a virus onto that machine. And then you would keep using the same card. They would just go wipe it and get it ready for a new one, but it wouldn't wipe the virus. So eventually it would hit all the machines in the polling place. And then they would all have a virus on them that would make it kick to one particular person just enough to help them
win
the
election. Well, that can sway the votes. I mean,
absolutely.
As you see in Florida, 570 odd, something odd votes.
537.
I mean, 537. Yeah. That's
so close.
With how many people
voted? 6 million.
How many people voted and 500 votes?
Yeah, that's fucking crazy.
Yeah. That was like in the sixth grade. I lost the presidential election to Kelly Pollard.
Did
six votes.
Did somebody tell them not to make it too close? So they did 500 instead of like 100.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, don't make it too close.
Don't make it too close. 500. How's that?
Yeah.
I meant like don't 5, make 000. It too close.
Yeah.
But so I know the entire election is just a clusterfuck. Ultimately, the Supreme Court comes in and declares that after a month of legal wrangling, they declare that Bush is the winner. And I don't even know that the Supreme Court has any such power to make that decision.
No.
But they did and it just kind of happened. So it's like, and I even remember,
who's gonna stop it,
right?
Who says no, the Supreme Court can't do that?
Well, I also saw
nobody
that,
right,
George celebrated
right
early too, before that was all said and done.
Yeah.
And they were already like,
yeah,
yeah,
sure. He was already like walking with Clinton and just like, yeah, it was
Yeah, no, the decided. Whole, but it's, I mean, they could have done they did recounts, they did everything, but then it came into the whole hanging Chad, like the thing that would punch the, I mean, there were so many problems on so many levels about the Florida election, and all of it was the Florida election. Like they were looking at other states and they were like, nope, that state's cool, that state's cool, that state's cool. And then fucking Emperor Palpatine state is the one where everything is fucked up across the board.
And they did it just to black people. It was like 90% of black people voted for Gore. Yeah. Crazy.
Well, it's because for one, he was Democrat.
Right.
And two, it was easy for them to target the blacks. And that's why they did it.
I watched an interview with one of the guys that they were telling him he was a felon. It just sucked. I was like, God.
He was a minister.
Nothing he could do about it. Like, it's just crazy.
Yeah. No, with the whole. Yeah.
And he's like, I was embarrassed. I was ashamed. Like 40 people around me think I'm lying because they're saying I'm a felon and I committed some crime that I didn't on some date that never happened. Yeah.
So he loses the popular vote by half a million people, and he wins, quote unquote, the electoral college vote because of all the fucked up shit going on in Florida. Yeah. And then the Supreme Court, who has no jurisdiction over such things, declares him president.
Yeah,
and then everybody just kind of goes along with it. So we end up getting him as president.
It gets wiped under the rug.
Yeah, exactly. It's just fucking, you know, and I even remember watching Al Gore concede and just kind of say,
he's like, and I invented the internet.
Maybe
how did this happen?
After
the internet.
Maybe Jeb's like, you know what? I'm going to run for president this time, and I'm going to get it because I know I got Florida.
Right. Oh, I think you kind of turned me on to something right now, though, Brent. I think, like, since he invented the internet and then lost the election, I think that's why Al Gore invented global warming.
Yeah.
To get revenge.
Yeah. Fine. I'll just melt the ice.
Fine. Yeah, fuck I'll all y'all. I'm going to invent global
everybody
warming.
Everybody knows Al Gore has laser eyes.
That's true.
Everybody knows that.
Sexy laser eyes.
There's a man, bear, pig joke in there somewhere. I don't know if you guys seen that episode of South Park.
No, we don't watch
somebody
South Park.
Out there's laughing.
Me and Dave
should
have
be
a
watching
life.
South Park.
I shouldn't be. You don't want me to watch South Park.
You should
Why?
Be watching
Why?
Samuel L. Jackson Japanese anime of screaming veiny eyes. And
I live South Park. Like, that's my life.
You're Butters. Uh-huh. No, not Butters. You're the other kid.
I'm chef.
Kid.
Chef.
Chef.
You're chef. I guess I'm Token. By default. Isn't that his name?
Yeah.
Wait, wasn't Chef a child molester?
Yep. Only because he quit because of the Church of Scientology.
Because of Scientology.
And then they just took all the archive footage of his audio and then made him into a fucking child molester.
That's right.
God, that's bold. That's like fucking...
That's rough. Yeah.
Yeah. But it's not like defamation of character or anything because it's not really him. It's a character.
Right.
But they took...
Yeah, no,
Isaac
we
Hayes
just
voice.
Turned your character into child molester.
And he couldn't do anything about it.
Uh-uh.
Yeah, because it doesn't portray him on as an individual.
The story of my life.
Yeah. Isaac Hayes made you into a child molester.
And then he came back and went back to work for him.
Yeah, he did. That's really weird.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Well, it's because it's a church.
Probably got to have a sense of humor to work there.
Yeah, I would imagine.
They're like, oh, you fuck kids. Did you use a pineapple?
So a pineapple? Never mind. So this is where I started to wonder, okay, so what all did Bush do while he was president? And I started looking into some of the stuff. He did help get the Medicare Prescription Drug Act passed so that seniors could get cheaper medication. That's good.
Probably some hidden thing for insurance companies.
Probably
I'm
so,
sure.
Yeah. He signed the No Child Left Behind law into act, which didn't necessarily do anything good for anyone. He did allocate billions of dollars to help fund HIV and AIDS research and to help to combat it in the world. That's good. He created the White House Office of Faith-Based and Community Initiatives, which
sounds
is
like some church stuff,
which is bad.
Yeah.
Like
church and
hello separation much. He ended up shooting down, he ended up shooting down stem cell research in a major way with a lot of vetoes on some pretty important bills, which a lot of people think sort of put American science behind by at least a decade.
Right. I would say
because Bush just like ruled out any stem cell research. And then he also withdrew America's support from the Kyoto protocols, which were part of a global warming initiative that stalled largely because Bush took us out of the protocols.
Right.
Because he said it would be bad for American business, which no doubt it would have.
It would have.
He's an oil man.
But at the same time, it would have perhaps, I don't know, saved the human race. So he was true.
I don't think so. I think we die anyway. It's a cycle.
It could be Waterworld.
The circle of life.
Lion-O. Wasn't that his name?
Huh?
Lion-O?
No, that's from Thunder
Lion King.
What are you talking about?
Whatever. No. Close enough.
Thundercats. Simba.
Fucking Lion, though, would be much better in that movie.
What's the guy's name we don't say? Scar. Ooh, don't say his name.
It's not fucking Bloody
you
Mary.
Know that movie would be way better if it was fucking Lion-O and Mumm-Ra.
It'd be way better if it never happened.
It would just be Thundercats.
Fuck yeah, it would be Thundercats. It'd be just, and then it would be way awesome.
Yeah. Cats. Ooh, it'd be better if the cats from Thundercats transformed into vehicles.
Here's the thing about Thundercats. Nice. I was trying to let this shit move past, but Thundercats fucking sucks. I want it to be awesome.
No, they do suck.
I went back and watched it when
I was so bad.
I tried to go watch it when I was growing up, and I'm gonna do an impression for you right now. It fucking sounds just like this, dude. It's horrible. For one, they are racist as fuck. Panthro is a black dude,
yeah,
and they just roll with it. But he's like, Chitara, get over here. Run down here. Kit Kat, fucking Snarf. And then the only cool part about Thundercats is fucking Snarf, Snarf, the little fucking Snarf guy.
That's the cool part?
Fuck yes, it is. Everyone else is a monotone, fucking super scripted, like, oh no, look, it's Mumm-Ra.
No,
you're not going to get me.
The coolest part of Thundercats isn't ancient powers of evil. No. Transform this decayed form into Mumm-Ra, ever living.
That was so good.
That's the fucking best part of Thundercats.
But I stand down.
I agree. He just blew Brynn out of the water.
But to you, I retort, snarf, snarf.
And you still win, yes, sir.
Snarf, you guys are showing your age. I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, you better represent.
Bunch of old fans.
What episode of South Park is that?
Season 57.
So.
Well, snarf, snarf to you.
I guess there's no getting around it. And then at some point in the
getting around, what are we going to beat around the bush?
At
or no?
some point, yeah, we are beating around the bush. At some point in the fall, some airplanes crashed into some stuff.
I should really be reaching around the bush, but whatever.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
So 9/11 goes down.
Yeah, reach around.
And again, if you don't know much about 9/11, then welcome to this world, and I'm glad you crawled out from under a rock.
What bush have you been hiding
in? But two, go double check our previous episodes on 9/11, because we cover it in a two episode special edition. But
yeah, it sucked.
Yeah, it sucked. So the one thing that I read, which I didn't know, there's a biography that came out not too long ago that was just called Bush, written by a guy named Edward Smith from Simon & Schuster. And it talks about the fact that it says that for the 7 months before 9/11, Bush never attended one meeting of the National Security Council.
But they did have like proactive meetings about implementing and taking care of the infrastructure of law for possession in the event of a war in Iraq. Like, they had all kinds of implementation and legal staff working on a plan for a war before 6 to 7 months before 9/11 even happened, about like what to do in the case of personal property and acquisition and U.S. citizen ownership of banks and or assets in Iraq, and how that would come to be in the event of a war.
In Iraq. Yeah.
Before 9/11 even happened.
Yeah. And he just, it seems to me that like part of the job description of being president of the United States of America is attending National Security Council.
This is where it got mucky for me, because anytime you look up George W., 9/11 comes up,
right?
You know, like all this stuff. But as I was researching MK Ultra, as we talked about earlier, I honestly think he was a perfect candidate for MK Ultra. His dad probably ran studies with it, knew what it was capable of, and used him as the guinea pig.
His dad, and we'll talk. We'll definitely get into it.
Like, I'm not going to get into it too much, but if you, I just want you to think about that though. Like, that he is almost perfect. Like, it almost seems too real that he's this goofy guy, but he's super smart, but he's super goofy, but then initiates a war on oil, pretty much,
right?
Looking for, he thinks, weapons. You know what I mean? Like, I think he did it and didn't even know what he was doing. That's what it seemed like.
That's outside my crazy box, I think.
No, I don't think so. I think it's completely legit. What happened? Who was that?
I don't know. The thing was legit. My
no, it was not.
No, it was.
Nope. Now let's talk about it. Dave's phone rang, and he had a throat panic attack to try to cover his Star Wars fucking ring or whatever came up.
It was his nighttime sleeping alarm.
A, It's the theme song.
For it's the loneliest letter of the alphabet.
It's the Escape from New York theme song. Oh. B.
I couldn't hear it through your throat struggle over there.
It was my throat struggle was completely in it. I had already swiped by the time my throat struggle had happened.
All right.
So 9/11 goes down. And in the wake of it, obviously, he ends up signing into law the Homeland Security Act and summons up Homeland Security
Department. We're so much safer now.
Aren't we? Our homeland is so fucking secure.
It's so secure.
He gets the Patriot Act passed.
Yes.
He ends up doing all this stuff. You know, the Patriot Act obviously allows for the tapping of American phones, which we talk about with Snowden. Again, this is where everything was starting to click. Yeah. I was like, oh, fuck.
But see,
this all ties into the shit Snowden was talking about.
And this is why I don't understand, you know, people get, you know, your family member, Brent, getting mad about, you're going to talk shit about Bush. Yes.
Yep.
Like, this motherfucker did some bullshit.
Yeah. Yeah. I have a buddy at jiu-jitsu, too. Like, we were trying to have a conversation. Like, his kid rolls. And so we sit there and just have conversations. And at no point in time had it ever gotten political. And then all of a sudden, dude, he was, like, Bush head cheerleader. Like, he was the head cheerleader for Bush.
Right, right.
And it's one of those things. Things. It's like my girl's mom. You mentioned 9/11 and you say the word conspiracy and she about flips the fuck out.
People freak out.
Yeah, it's just crazy.
It's just crazy to me because it makes so much more sense that there was
it's the other way. It's what we've talked about over and over again, that once you start researching these topics and actually like read into things,
yeah,
it becomes a whole another story.
I just wonder where the tipping point is, because like I used to think conspiracy people were crazy, and then I'm like, oh, we're all just sleeping,
but
we're all not putting out the effort to learn.
Yeah, and a lot of the stuff that's claimed to be conspiracy theories, like you if you search right now, go on there and search conspiracy theory, there's going to be a bunch of stuff that comes up on your screen that are already proven
right.
to be true.
No, absolutely.
Labeled a conspiracy right. theory still because it was a conspiracy.
But we don't do anything about it. Like, there's lots of things that have come to pass that we know have happened, and we're just like, that's pretty much known. That's a known thing.
That's kind of fucked
up. We don't do anything about it.
Yeah, because
we don't rise up in the street.
You think of the Philadelphia experiment, which we've talked about. That's a conspiracy theory. No, it's not. It fucking happened. Like the events happened.
Right. Something.
How they happened, we don't know.
Question.
But the actual thing that the experiment was went down.
The thing I was going to say though is
MK Ultra.
Where is that tipping point? Like you go from normal person, like, oh, that's crazy talk. They just watch Fox News and they believe whatever they're fed. Then there's people that do a little bit of research. Maybe they watch some YouTube videos. Then there's us who do a heavy amount of research and get to the point that a lot of people probably think we're crazy.
Sure.
But then there's the guy that's carrying the breadboard on the front and back of his body, walking around Chicago or New York, screaming the end is coming, the end is near, and spouting off a bunch of crazy political jargon. Like maybe we reach a point you get so fucking crazy that you're like,
no, not we.
When you know, okay, fine.
This is not a we.
Well, I think a lot of, I don't know. I a lot of times when I look at like a conspiracy theorist website, it's like they're all in with all of it.
Right.
Like the fucking craziest shit.
They're not this is legit, but it's not so much.
No.
That's where we're at. We actually look at stuff.
I tried to
and say like,
there's something to this.
Yeah, there's
something
to it.
Completely fucking bullshit. And, you know, but so yeah, a lot of the events of a lot of the major events of the George Bush scenario, I was like in DC for, and it kind of like, I have a very different perspective of what Washington DC is than I think most people do, because I had a grant that took me to Washington DC for 15 weeks over the course of
and I think you mentioned going to
DC. I mentioned it before. Yeah. So I went back, I would fly back there once a month for a week. And then a couple of times it was for more than a week and did research at the Library of Congress. And it was like the day that he declared that we were going to have a Department of Homeland Security, I was walking to the Library of Congress first thing in the morning, and there's just this giant hedgerow all the way down the sides of one of the congressional buildings. All the streets are blocked off, cement and jersey barriers everywhere. Guys with just fucking machine guns standing in the street in like paramilitary clothing. Like that was just DC as usual at that time. And I'm walking down this thing of hedgerows, and up ahead of me, like maybe a half a block up, there's like a limo and a bunch of, police motorcycles and another like couple of SUVs behind it. And the doors are open and there's nobody really there. So I'm walking up the hedgerows and all of a sudden all these like fucking men in black come pouring out of an opening ahead of me that I didn't know was there. And they have this guy that they're surrounding that they put in the limo and shut the limo door and it takes off. And one of the fucking Secret Service guys who rounds the corner looks at me and reaches into his jacket and pulls out like a fucking futuristic machine pistol and fucking stuffs it in my face because I scared the shit out of him. And he scared the shit out of me, what with the gun in my face.
How the fuck did I never hear this story?
And
he said it before.
And there was a cop, just a regular fucking cop who was one of the motorcycle cops, also came around the corner and looked at this Secret Service guy. And the look on his face was like, are you fucking kidding me? And he just reached up and like grabbed the guy's arm and pushed his arm down. And the Secret Service guy, because I just scared the shit out of him. He's like in Secret Service mode. He rounds a corner and there's a fucking 6 foot
black guy.
He didn't scare him. You were black.
Machine pistol, for the record.
It was like it was an MP5. It was like a really modified MP5 that fit in his jacket. And then he ended up getting in, and they all
took the gun from him.
It was fucking dope, dude. It's a fucking dope gun. But they ended up getting in and taking off. And then I went and researched all day. And when I got home, that was fucking what's his ass, who was the first head of the Homeland Security.
Yeah.
And like he was leaving a briefing that morning where, and like that morning he had just gotten appointed and walked out the building and stuffed a gun in my face and got in a limo and drove off. And I was like, fuck. Yeah, and then I was like, that's who that fucking guy was.
Told the story.
But then also I had another George W. moment, and the guy who sent us the jerky and all the Roswell stuff, the day that they declared war on Iraq.
I thought that was a heavyset girl that sent us that stuff.
No, I see him as a juicy.
Oh, okay.
He calls him big sexy.
Me, big sexy. He was driving me to LAX that night because I was taking a red eye to go to DC.
Who was George W?
George W. Okay. We're down like that. No, my friend Chris, who sent us the Roswell stuff, and we were at my house and we were just fucking around. I don't know, playing magic, doing something. And the news was on, and all of a sudden, like, you know, we interrupt this program with a speech from the president. And like my flight was like 11 o'clock or something, so I wasn't that worried about getting down there. And then W comes on TV and says, we've just declared war in Iraq. We've got, you know, attack jets are in the air. We're striking right now. And we just looked at each other like, motherfucker. And we were just like, we better go right now. It was like 4 PM, but we were like, these fucking, it's going to be a bitch getting through security at LAX. And everybody was fucking scared to fly. Like everybody was like just drinking and watching TVs at LAX and no one wanted to get on. And the plane I ended up getting on in DC, it was me and 5 other people because everyone was afraid to get on a plane flying into DC.
Nice. Yeah.
It was fucking dope. Yeah. It was kind of cool.
Nobody's but in front of you. You kick your feet up.
But yeah, that like all these weird George W. Bush moments happened like when I was in DC, and I pictured DC as like a violent, aggressive machine.
Well, maybe it's like that all the time.
Place.
You just saw it. You know what I mean?
Maybe so. I don't know. It was very, very crazy. But so stuff on the war in Iraq. I mean, this has all got Bush all over it. I don't know how much we want to say.
Yeah, that's a hard one, man. Like, I mean, we're already over an hour. Yeah. I almost think like the war on Iraq is its own.
Oh, it definitely is.
It'd be its own.
It definitely
thing.
Is. But again, the whole thing is ramrodded through with weapons of mass destruction. That's the whole argument that's been sold. That's
Al-Qaeda. Al-Qaeda, bin Laden, you know, the chase for bin Laden, who, I mean, in many, many things has been shown to be a CIA operative, you know, like, so like there's a bunch of contradicting just information on the war itself and things that went on. Yeah. So, I mean, that's an hour episode all in itself.
Oh, absolutely. And then, of course, on a date that it happened in history, and I won't say it because I'll be wrong because that's the story of this episode.
1492, Columbus held the ocean blue.
On an aircraft carrier, and he declares that the war is over. Like a dumbass, and it continues longer than any other war in American history.
There were some super pissed airmen about him landing that plane and everything too, about the whole landing on the aircraft carrier and dressing in uniform.
Oh, really?
And like trying to play this part of like the hero, like come home, like trying to be Tom Cruise and fucking Val Kilmer showing up like the badass, because he just didn't do it. And he like dodged the draft and he's AWOL and he was not a wartime guy. Like that was like a big slap in the face to a lot of military personnel. I mean, I guess if you're standing there, high fives and rah, 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 but like really deep down inside, a lot of military personnel thought that was a slap in the face. They didn't like it.
Yeah, it worked well in the movie Independence Day. Mm-hmm. The president could fly a plane and fight aliens, but the real world.
Was Will Smith, Will Smith was the president?
No. Independence Day? It was, what's his name? I can't think of the guy's name. Blonde guy.
Barbara Bush.
Blonde. Yes. Yeah, Barbara Bush.
Q-Tip.
She played the pilot. Again, other highlights in his presidential campaign are Hurricane Katrina.
I was gonna say,
and again, we did an episode on that way early on, and the federal response was just fucking devastating.
Right.
Like, I read the fact that there were 1,800 confirmed deaths due to Katrina, and no one really fucking did anything about it. There were 3,000 deaths in 9/11, and it leads to a war on terror. Like, I'm surprised he didn't do a fucking war on weather.
He's like, that's Al Gore's job. Get out there, Al. You want to be the next president? Take care of that fucking wave, will you?
But, and we did that. That was an early episode. We did that a long time ago, but we talked quite a bit about Katrina and how much Bush and the FEMA think, and everything just fucked the whole.
Episode 4.
Yeah.
Was it really?
Which
that long ago?
Which really his approval rating really, really went down because of that. He did a horrible job.
Well, I think he just delegated it to FEMA. Here you go. But there was no response, nor did he stay on it. He was focused on war and what was going on. Yeah,
finding
abroad.
Those weapons, baby.
Yeah.
And it took him way too long to get down there. Like, every time,
like, at least pull some shit where you hide some weapons. You know what I mean? Like, fucking put some weapons of mass destruction in a fucking cave.
Look what we found.
Spray paint Iraq on them or something in fucking stencil font.
It's a whole dungeon full of rats.
Look at
it. Biological warfare.
It's horrible.
We got them.
Look, a box of bombs and fake beards. Like, it should have been something.
Yeah.
Like, if you can stage all of this shit, you can't hide some weapons of mass destruction?
Right.
And he's just disappointed the whole time, too. Like, there's no weapons. Where are the weapons? Like, I know there's weapons.
That was a
weird. It gotta be in the mountains.
That was a weird impersonation.
That's stressed out contemplation.
Yeah. Where are the weapons? My book is upside down when I'm reading it right now.
Yeah.
Where are the weapons? That's what I want to know.
And another reason that is fucking approval ratings were so abysmal was because of what happened to the economy. During the Clinton administration, we ended up at our highest. We had a $236 billion surplus in our finances, and Bush ended up with a $412 billion deficit.
And he predicted a $10 trillion surplus over the next 10 years by following his plan.
Fuck. And again, his father wasn't that much better. His father had a $290 billion deficit,
right?
Like, during his administration. And I know we can't pin the entire economy on one president,
right.
But I mean, it kind of goes.
Thanks, Obama.
Goes back and forth. Thanks, Obama. And then even amidst this, you know, he ends up giving the $700 billion bailout to the housing and banking industry, which again is just a colossal clusterfuck. When they were passing the laws, the banks refused to participate unless the government had no power to monitor how the money was spent.
Yeah, that's bullshit.
So they were like, "We want to give you $700 billion and they're like, "No thanks. Are you actually going to like monitor it? Nope, we're not interested." Yeah. And then they ended up having it written in there that they couldn't monitor the fucking finances, and then they said, "Okay, we'll take it." And one thing that I read, and this kind of blew my mind, was that the major banks had a total of $2 billion in the Federal Reserve Bank that were being held before this happened, before the $700 billion bailout. In August of that year, August of 2008, they had $2 billion in the federal bank. By October of 2008, they had $276 billion in the federal bank because they weren't spending it bailing shit out.
Right.
They were just gaining interest on it and making fucking money.
Right.
Like, because there was no oversight at all based on how the government ended up spending this fucking money.
Well, and they took trips and did all kinds of promotions and...
Yeah, and the one of the other things that I saw, two other points that I saw, one thing was that I read a thing that there was a conspiracy theory that said that there was that the Levenstein Institute in 2001 conducted a study and found that George W. Bush had the lowest IQ of any president in the last 50 years.
Damn.
But then when I looked into it, there is no such thing as the Lovenstein Institute, and there was no such thing as a report.
This is the bullshit that like flies around on Facebook.
Absolutely, yeah.
That everybody believes.
Yeah, everybody would just be like, "Oh fuck!"
And all you did was look into it, yeah.
Nope,
man. Like it kills me. Fucking kills me.
Because I just had a hard time believing it, and then I don't know why, but then when I looked it up, it's like, nope, not at all. Someone just fucking made that shit up. And the other thing that I read was actually about George W. Bush, and it was a conversation. So there was a. During one of the presidential bids, he had a conversation with Gary Johnson, and Gary Johnson of New Mexico, who's currently the Libertarian third mm-hmm. party candidate for the 2016 election. And there was
who might be the super puppet that we get tricked into voting for, right? Like I was like, so, that's probably what they're doing right now is tricking us. Like how they're not going to want to vote for either one of these motherfuckers,
right? So everybody's vote for this guy.
They're just funneling us into the Gary.
So a reporter named Gail Collins wrote about this way back then and said that, and this is a quote, Governor Gary Johnson of New Mexico had a conversation at a state government conference. And the quote is, George Bush turns to me and says, "What are they talking about?" And then Gary Johnson says, "I don't know."
And then they high-five.
And George Bush says, "You don't know a thing, do you?" And Gary Johnson laughed and said, "Not one thing." And then W said, "Neither do I." And then Gary Johnson says, and then we kind of high-fived.
About not knowing shit.
That's like some sort of code, though.
And this is like, Gary Johnson, who doesn't fucking know like anything. Like he can't name another fucking, leader, right. Another world leader, the whole fucking Aleppo. He doesn't know what Aleppo is, like all this fucking shit.
I don't know what Aleppo it's is. Like, what's Aleppo?
You're not running for president.
True.
So we can
fucking, I might want to, though.
We can pass on the,
isn't like
on
the Aleppo. Isn't thing. Leprosy a disease?
It is.
Yeah.
It's curable, though.
Yeah. It's a lesbian with leprosy.
That's right.
They call Aleppo. It Aleppo, yeah.
So anyway, I thought that was very interesting that the, so it again,
it makes her pussy fall off. So Trump can't grab it. I knew I could cross a line at some point.
Trump.
I was just surprised because you said the word pussy, which is not a word you normally
he said it earlier when I said he was a pussy for dodging.
Well, no, that's a different use of it.
Oh, true.
You know, I was just repeating your use of it.
Yeah, yeah, no, but that was, I was like, I can't believe Brent just said that. But then it was
I mean, Lepo is a serious condition, though.
It is a serious condition. So anyway, that's all I got on Bush. I don't know. At the end of the day.
Well, there's more on Bush, but then you get into other topics.
Yeah. Yeah. Is he a puppet? Is he an idiot who just stumbled into it? Did his dad make all the calls for him when he was in office? Was he playing dumb and he wasn't that fucking dumb? Was the economy his fault?
I honestly think he was playing dumb because they passed some shit. They did some shit. That
everything played right into his hand.
They did some shit that couldn't have gotten passed otherwise. Like if 9/11 didn't happen, all the Homeland Security, all of the the Patriot Act shit would have never been passed.
Nope.
Nobody would have ever approved it if looked at.
Never would have gone to war in Iraq.
Never
he and his cabinet wouldn't have had fucking endless no-bid contracts worth billions of dollars.
It's just
fucking endless.
I think it was just a front, man. Honestly, like he might not be.
He could still be a puppet, though.
Very could well be a puppet.
Yeah, he could be very well.
I feel like he was.
He could have been Rumsfeld's puppet. He could have been.
Yeah. Yeah, those events and all those things that you listed, like the accolades and accomplishments of. And
they're not on
evil
that.
Things, it could be just, seizing the opportunity of a misfortune, of an unfortunate event. It could be.
Very true.
But I don't fucking think so either.
Yeah. He had his Bush sense on.
He did. Mm. And we'll definitely have to do a show on the war in Iraq and on the Patriot Act because they're both pretty fucked up. Right. So.
All right.
Sponsors.
Thank you to LU Yucateco Hot Sauce. I'm going to post a picture of my collection. No one will care. A couple people might, like the guy that keeps it by his bed.
There's some people, people on Instagram and Facebook.
They might rival me.
Like tag us in hot sauce photos. And I'm like, that's cool. Like,
I'm gonna start a club. We meet on Wednesdays.
We do need to thank Jay Hilgenfeld.
Yes.
I don't know if that's how you say it, but I had requested an illustration at the end of last Friday's show, and immediately he sent us a drawing, which we posted on Facebook. And
it is and fucking dope.
Yeah, it's pretty spot on. it's pretty spot on.
He made a Castle Times one too. Did you see that?
I saw that. It actually gave me an idea.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So we'll see.
Yeah. Check our Facebook and Instagrams for that drawing because it's fucking dope.
Yeah, it's cool. And that'll probably, that can go on a shirt. That's absolutely a sweet, sweet shirt.
Also, thank you to Dark Side Graphics. They do our Dark Side Graphics.
What do they do?
Hunky Brewster. He makes dick pillows.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. If you need dick pillows, you can get those.
I've been trying to sell those at my yard sales I've been having and nobody's wanting them.
They're just like, mommy, what is that?
Yeah.
Thank you to Digital Creations. Thank you to PrintDirtCheap.com. And thank you to Camarillo Jiu-Jitsu.
Yep. So,
on
that note, speaking of which,
I dislocated my kneecap. Jimmy dislocated my kneecap. It's Jimmy's fault.
Yeah. And that's what I was talking about. So, Brent, they got tired of Brent talking shit. And
it's like, a conspiracy.
They were hurting. They were just arm barring him to death. And that didn't work. He kept talking shit. And so they sent in the knee jammer and Jimmy. And he just took out Brent's MCL, which Brent's on crutches.
This is the thing.
Like, it's pretty sad.
I've had
And he's still talking shit, though. He came down here talking about how he's going to drag Dan around by his hair.
He's like, wait till my knee heals. Wait till I see what I do with these crutches.
Yeah,
I'm right.
Wait till my knee heals. I'm getting on the mat with these crutches.
Someone's ass with these crutches.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, for real though. Like, it was the most innocent. Like, not even a move. There was no move even happening. It was like he pulled guard and like swung his foot around to kind of like just hook the back of my leg to pull me in.
Mm-hmm.
I twisted and stepped, and then dislocation and meat and bone noises, and then I Viking screamed to the ground.
Yeah. In knee destruction training, that's what it always.
Oh, that's
like.
How it works.
Yeah.
That was a strategic move.
Yeah.
Most of my fucked up karate injuries that I had were very, it's like you're just doing some fucking nonsensical bullshit
that you do a million times. I've been knee barred. I think I've been hurt.
And that's why I told you I've been hurt more just like on something simple that wasn't anything.
That's what scares me so much, dude, is like the flashback of it. Like it makes me slightly nauseous and like scares the fuck out of me.
It hurts, dude.
For it to happen again.
I know.
And it was such an innocent thing. My knee wasn't messed up. It didn't feel weak. It didn't feel weird. Yeah. And it just came out of socket. It was gross.
Age.
So age will do that too, apparently.
I just walk around and my ribs pop out. So, I mean, that's how bad it is. I just be walking and I lose breath. Oh, shit, my ribs out. Oh, in like 3 days, I'm just like, until it finally decides to go back in.
Right. So I'm
that
broken.
It?
Yeah.
All right.
That's it.
Well, hope you learned your lesson. Stop talking shit.
Yeah.
Never. I'll be back, bitches.
All right. Do your George W. Send us out.
I don't have a George W.
Yeah, you do. We trained you on it earlier.
Someone do one for me. I'll copy.
No, we already told you McConaughey, but slower and.
No, you said McConaughey was a slower Clinton.
No,
I'll say goodbye however you guys want. I'll do like that if you like it.
That's Clinton.
That's still Clinton?
Do McConaughey.
How about my mind's fried?
That one? Right, on that note, don't be afraid.
Make some noise for my nigga George Bush. No? Texas, bitch. Longhorns and whatnot. Ladies and gentlemen, my name is George W. Bush. I'm finna rap for y'all. Texas, bitch, I'm from Texas. We're homophobic in Texas. And if these Mexicans keep coming in, I'm a dismember of. You don't see me in El Paso selling their tacos. Shit, my Albano, I'll cut off your asshole. God damn it. Don't even talk about them faggots. If I ever see one singing the national anthem, I'ma strangle him. Hell no, they can't get married. But they can fight in the military. Hopefully they'll end up buried in a cemetery. I don't even consider them people.
No.
Go ahead and put them in the front line, right next to them Negroes. But I'm not racist. Colin Powell's like my brother.
All right, I admit it, I hate him. I hate him.
Where's the Cheney at? Probably off in Iraq. Finding some oil to tap. Tell him I got up on that.
Uh-huh.
And y'all still think it was Bin Laden. It was us and the Masons plotting on oil profits. I'm evil. But y'all didn't vote, though. Now y'all stuck with the president that y'all didn't vote for. Unemployment is up. Economy's in the ditch. Our country's at war. I don't give a shit, I'm rich. I'm evil. But y'all didn't vote, though. Now y'all stuck with the president that y'all didn't vote for. Unemployment is up. Economy's in the ditch. Our country's at war. I don't give a
Breach.
Shit. I'm rich.
I'm a serious George. Some say a delirious George. Make me angry, I'm a furious George. But mostly I'm a curious George. A little different in the brain.